This morning's scripture reading is from 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The last two verses, 17 and 18 of 2 Corinthians 10. Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends.
Thank you, Eric. So that is the core of the lesson today, the idea of who approves us. And of course, we would want the approval of God more than the approval of men. And as Eric read, it is not for us to boast ourselves, but to only boast in the Lord. We looked at that word boasting and exalting, sometimes it's translated, the idea that we take glory or pride in, not ourselves, but pride in God. There are many standards of approval in the world, but in eternal things, only God's standard matters. It doesn't matter what your mama thought of you, or what your daddy thought of you, or what your brother or sister, or your friends or strangers thought of you, or how popular or well known you were. What matters is how you were known to God, what He sees when He sees you. But he who boasts is to boast in the Lord. For it is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he whom the Lord commends. When we believe God's message, when we have been immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, to receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, there we have been united with Christ. There we are clothed with Christ, and there God sets his seal upon us, that indwelling of his Spirit to be redeemed on the day of judgment if we have remained faithful to him. Ephesians 1, 13 through 14, and a lot of our passages this morning come from Ephesians. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were also sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. So much is said in those two verses, that we have an inheritance, that we are marked as the property of God, that we are his possession, and it's all for his glory, and that we will be redeemed, as we sang in the song just a little bit ago. And also, if we look at the beginning of Paul's letter to them, we want to note, it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. So I wanted us to look at three of the things that are mentioned in this first verse. Saints, faithful, and in Christ Jesus. Let's just take a look at those three things for a moment. To begin with, we can understand from the Holy Scriptures that every Christian is a saint. Even some who were in the days before Christianity was established as the new covenant, at the death of Jesus, there were some who rose and walked around the city of Jerusalem. They were referred to in the book of Matthew as saints. And so when Paul starts his letter to these sealed, approved, Ephesians, he calls them saints and faithful and refers to them as in Christ Jesus. So what is a saint and who is a saint? The word saints is used throughout the New Testament to describe Christians in general. Now in some institutions in the world today, a saint would have to go, to be declared a saint, one would have to be approved by mankind. But in the Bible, one who is a saint is one who is actually approved by God. The word saints, used throughout the New Testament, describes Christians in general. The book of Revelation is the one book in the Bible of the New Testament that uses it the very most, 11 times. In fact, that's more times than the word was used in the entire Old Testament, where it was used 8 times. So in the book of Revelation only, it's used 11 times. Jude also uses the word when he speaks of the faith that's handed down to the saints. And he seems to be talking about us, Christians, the ones who are continuing hearing and believing and obeying and sharing the word of God. Jude 1:3, Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. We see so much there also, that in the first century, the faith had been handed down, and it was handed down once for all, not to be changed, but to be repeated and repeated and repeated to as many people as would be willing to hear. Jesus ascended to heaven, sent the Spirit to the apostles and to the prophets of the first century to reveal his truth and to equip his saints to serve and grow and to become like him. As we read this story of equipping in the book of Ephesians, we see that it seems to be the whole church, and they seem to be referred to as the saints. Ephesians 4:10-13. He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. Of course, that's speaking of Jesus, who had came for a purpose and fulfilled that purpose and returned to the Father in heaven. And it says he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So we continue to contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints, and the saints are to be equipped until they come to a unified understanding of that faith, and they are to serve with that understanding through the equipping that has been provided to them through the Word of God, through knowing it, learning it, practicing it, and continuing it. As far as I could find, the first person in the entire Bible to use the word saint would be David. And in fact, the first two times it was used was David. And then you find it six times in the book of Daniel, and then you have to go to the New Testament to find it again. In Psalm 16:1-4, David writes, "Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good beside you. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who have bartered for another god will be multiplied. I shall not pour out their drink offerings of blood, nor will I take their names upon my lips." David was refusing to participate in the worshiping and serving of any other god, for he knew the one and only God. And he referred to the saints who were in the earth as those who were faithful to that one and only God. In Psalm 34:8-9, David uses the word saint again. He says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him, there is no want." And again, the idea of revering, fearing, honoring is done by those who know God, believe in God, and are sanctified by God, and therefore they can be called saints. Daniel in 7:18, as well as five other times in the book of Daniel, Daniel uses the word saint. "But the saints of the highest ones will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever for all ages to come." A prophecy found in the book of Daniel using the word saints. The first usage I found in the New Testament was at the death of Jesus. It was used to describe those who had died faithful to God. The New Testament writers go on to use saint to also describe faithful Christians, both living and the ones who have gone before. So the idea of being a saint means being faithful to God in your time, meaning whatever covenant you are living in. And in our case, that's the covenant of Christ, the new covenant, and the final covenant before heaven is rewarded to those who are his saints. Matthew 27:50-53, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. We understand that the book of Hebrews lets us know that a covenant is not in effect until the death of the one who made it. And so we know that Christ had died when this took place, but we also know that the instructions on how to obey the covenant would not be given until he was returned to the Father and would send the Spirit as he had promised to the apostles. And that would be 50 days later. And so we understand that these people were called saints on the basis of having lived and died faithful to God in the covenant that they were living in. Saint, hagios, definition, sacred or holy. Translated in the New American Standard Bible by context as holy 92 times, that's with a big H, holy 62 times with a small h, holy of holies once, holy one 5 times, holy ones 1 time, holy place 7 times, most holy 1 time, saint 1 time, saints 59 times, and saints possessive 1 time, and sanctuary 2 times. So if you add all those saints together, you got 59, 60, 61 times in the entire New Testament that word was applied to human beings who were faithful to God. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Now you see that these people had met God's standard of approval, because these people had heard and obeyed the gospel. These people were baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. These people had received what was spoken of in the same book, chapter 1, verse 13, where it said that the Spirit was dwelling in them as a seal or a mark of ownership and to be redeemed by God on the day of judgment, of course, if they remained faithful to God's standard of doing and living. They had been made holy, and they were for God's purposes, created to serve Him. We also again see that this founding of this church and the giving of this truth and these apostles and prophets were written up as past tense in the first century, and there would be nothing that would need to change about that until the Lord comes again. And again, this is the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints, Jude 13. In Christ, we're all sanctified. We're all made saints. So we understand then that another word I said we would pick on today would be the faithful. The saints who are faithful. This is who the letter is to. This is who the letter is for. And we can apply this letter to ourselves if we have done what they have done and if we stand where they stand in relationship to God. Faithful in the Greek comes from the word pistos, which means faithful or reliable. Somebody you can trust. Someone you can depend upon. And God is depending on these people to be faithful to Him. And if they refuse to be faithful to Him, then they will not receive His promises. They will not have an inheritance in Him. But if they and we remain faithful, we have His promises and we have His inheritance when that time comes. Translated as believer, believe, believing, faithful, faithfully, sure, and trustworthy. And you see the number of times there on the screen. In Ephesians 1, 1 through 2, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we could go back and look at the previous slide and think about the idea that the church was founded on Christ, the cornerstone, that all must align to, and the foundation of the apostles and prophets there in the first century. And we could remember in our minds that Christ didn't receive the approval of many people, right? I mean, there were many, I should say, who did not approve of him. Was it not prophesied that They would reject the cornerstone, right? He was rejected by many. He was a stone they didn't want in their building. But on the other hand, he was approved by God and is approved for eternity. And so again, there's an example of the fact that it's not about men's approval. It's not about the world's approval. It's about being approved by God to be truly approved. And that's the only thing we can boast of. We know what a saint is. We know what faithful is. How are they saints and faithful in Christ Jesus? And I think you know where I'm going with that. The next verse says that they find every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, in Christ. In Christ. How in Christ? Ephesians 1:1 through 2, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We know that when we're baptized into Christ, we are being transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. We know that then we are now a part of an eternal spiritual kingdom, and now we can be called saints, and in that situation, we can have the spiritual blessings that are not available to others who are not in that place. The whole world gets God's kindness, gets God's rain and God's sunshine and God's goodness, but only those who are the saints get the spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. How are they saints and faithful in Christ Jesus? This happened when they heard the good news that Jesus can save us from our sins. They believed and repented of their sins, were immersed in water for the forgiveness of their sins, and arose from the water born again, recreated, clothed in Christ to live the rest of their lives in that clothing with no condemnation as long as they stay in Christ Jesus, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. At that rebirth, they were made clean by forgiveness and made holy, as in sanctified, as in saints, and as in set apart for special service, to serve God and Jesus, to be equipped to do so, and become citizens of the heavenly kingdom and receive the spiritual blessings that are only for those who are in that situation. How are they in Christ? Of course you know. Galatians 3:27, for all of you who were baptized, immersed, dipped under the water, dunked, buried, baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. Romans 6:1-7, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, which he just described, burial and baptism, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, that we would no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died is freed from sin, which he also just described when he said, arise to walk in newness of life. When we believe God's good news message and are immersed into Christ, we become united with him and we are clothed with him and God sets his seal in us. Can you read that? Who is that? The great He is up there. That's God, amen? The seal of God's approval is the only one that matters for us eternally. Ephesians 1:13-14, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. This is what he's writing to these Ephesians. These ones who access the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Sometimes people confuse this with Pentecostalism. Sometimes they reject the scripture as being only for the first century. But we understand if we keep reading and keep studying, we see that there is the indwelling of the Spirit of God. Just like Peter promised on in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And it's different than what fell upon. It's a different manifestation or a different purpose than when the Spirit fell upon the apostles and upon those on whom they laid hands. God approves of faith. God approves of obedient faith. God approves of continued faithfulness in Jesus. Hebrews 11, 1 through 2. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the men of old gained approval. Hebrews 11, 6. And without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him, the great he is. James 1, 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Those who are baptized into Christ become heirs of Abraham, can inherit the promises that God made to Abraham. And one of the promises that he makes to us is this beautiful crown of life, everlasting life, for those who are faithful to him. Saints. Human approval is often based on Satan's deceptions. We see that in the life of Jesus on this earth. John 12, 42 through 43. Nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. Yet God's approval is the only one that we can boast of. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent, preacher Timothy, be diligent to present yourself approved of God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately or correctly handling the word of truth. Approved of God. You know, all of those Ephesians who were to be equipped by the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, there in chapter 4, were referred to as the saints who would carry out the work of the Lord. And part of their work would be to accurately handle the word of truth. Who gets the Lord's seal of approval? 2 Corinthians 10, 17 through 18, but he who boasts is to boast in the Lord, not in the approval of men, not in the approval of the Pharisees, not in the approval of Hollywood, but he who boasts is to boast in the Lord, for it is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he whom the Lord commends. Having believed and obeyed, we are, if we have believed and obeyed, we are forgiven. We are born again. We are sealed with God's own Spirit. We are called saints, made saints, regarded as sanctified. We are put into Christ's kingdom. We are being trained and put into Christ's service. We are saved by God's grace for works that he prepared beforehand that we would do. We are living a new life in Jesus. We are approved by God's standard of approval. Have you been approved by God? That's the question this morning. Are you living a life approved by God? Have you done and are you doing those things which God would say, this is my saint? If there's any need for you to respond, we offer you the opportunity as we stand and as we sing.